reception to that at that point, to the book. And today we're actually heading in, and I was hoping to cover verses 3 through 12, but we'd be here too long, so we're just going to cover 3 through 5 of chapter 1 today. I do want to thank you for allowing us to be gone last weekend. Last Sunday was the anniversary of losing Priscilla's two sisters and a niece in a fire. And so last Sunday we didn't talk about that, but we were all very mindful of it. And for me, I think perhaps last weekend was one of those that I didn't think as much this time about how much I missed them, but I thought mostly about how much they had gained and how much life was better for them. I thought about the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the inheritance that they have received and how much they are enjoying heaven today in ways that we can't understand. And we'll never, we can read all the passages in Scripture, and we still don't have a clue how wonderful and glorious heaven's going to be until we actually get there ourselves. We can only just imagine. Well, 1 Peter really begins by summing up the gospel in a nutshell, the good news of the gospel, and it talks about this new birth that we have, and it talks about the inheritance. And that inheritance that's kept for us in heaven and all of that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time." Father God, we just ask, Lord, today that you would take these few verses and just let something resonate with us and resonate with our minds, but also resonate with our souls. Speak to us afresh and anew today by your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that Peter does as he begins to talk to these Christians around the world, Jews who have become Christians, is he starts off with praise. And praise is rooted in two different things. It's rooted in who God is, and it's also rooted in what God has done and is going to do. Praise is based in theology. Praise is based in truth about God and who he is. Praise is the music that rises out of our souls when God is doing a great work in our life. When you and I, a lot of times when difficult times come or pain comes or all numbers of kinds of things can come and kind of disrupt our happy attitudes and all of that, praise can often make the whole difference in our attitude and everything else. And Peter starts off with praise, but I want you to notice that he says, "Praise be to the God." Not just a generic God. Not any God will suffice. He says, "Praise be to the God." There is only one God. And Peter says, it is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise goes to the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you that Peter is telling us that it is not enough to just believe in God. It is not enough to believe in just a God. You must believe in the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you must believe in the one that he sent to us. you can really only know God the Father if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other path to the Father and to know Him other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." We really only get to know God the Father. We only know him if we have come to know Jesus. And then in John chapter 8, verse 19, they ask Jesus, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father as well." And so Peter, he starts off with his praise, but he addresses it to the God who was the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his emphasis there is that in order for us to know God, we have to know Jesus. He is the source of the ability for us to know God. And then he goes on to speak about God's great mercy. Peter knew what it was to be a dreadful failure. Even before that last week of the life of Jesus, before his crucifixion, there were so many times where Peter was bold and, almost obnoxious, but he'd say things and Jesus would correct him and all of those kind of things. But then in that last week when Peter, one of the inner three of the group of disciples, Peter denies even knowing him three different times. And Jesus sees him and they make eye contact. And then Jesus dies. Peter knew what it was to feel shame and to feel like a failure. And he's still amazed 30 years later when he writes this. He's still amazed that God had mercy towards him. That God chose him. That God worked in him. And that God continued to work through him. And it should be for us as Christians, we should be totally amazed when we really get to know ourselves. Amazed that God has grace towards us. Amazed that God still loves us. Amazed that he just gives us mercy day in and day out. And notice the words, it's not just mercy. In his great mercy. If you go back to the original, it could easily be translated in his much, much mercy. Much, comma, much mercy. Grace is getting what I don't deserve from God, but mercy is not getting what I do deserve from God. And, God is a perfectly holy God. What I deserve from God is not what I want. It's not what any of us want. In his great mercy, God has done amazing things for us. Blanche sent me pictures 2 weeks ago that she took of me up here holding Violet while Rachel was leading us in worship. And I responded to her that the only thing that could have been better about that picture was that she could have photoshopped some hair on the back of my head. Well, we all want a photographer to do us justice, but what I really needed was mercy, in that case. Well, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that as we are in our sinful natures, justice condemns us. And holiness frowns upon us, and power crushes us, and truth confirms that the law is against us, and then wrath fulfills it. And then he says, it is the mercy of our God that gives all of us hope. The mercy of God. And then he goes on from there, and he says, this living hope that you and I have is something that is given to us through a new birth. Notice that the gospel is about what God has done for us, not what you and I have done for God, but what God has done for us. He has given us new birth. It is not earned. It is not deserved. We are hopelessly dead in our sins. And dead people have no ability to revive themselves. Dead people have no ability to do anything more. So God, in His mercy, revived us. He gave us what we could not get for ourselves. He gave us new birth. And the result of this new birth is living hope. This hope exists because Jesus rose from the dead. There is no hope without a resurrected Christ. Jesus could have come and died, and none of us would be Christians. But Jesus came and died for our sins and was raised to new life so that you and I could be raised to new life. And that hope sustains us no matter what we're going through in life. And we will see that as we get deeper and deeper into 1 Peter, and especially even next week as we begin to talk about the trials that these people were going through. In the midst of the worst things that we go through in life, it is that hope of God's mercy and His salvation that sustains us in life. Without Christ, you and I are hopeless. But with Christ, we have a living and thriving hope. We can try to cover our hopelessness with a hope with toys and securities of relationships and the security of resources. But all of those things pass away. All of those things in earth are temporary. They can just be gone in a flash. You know, just look at our world today. And there isn't anything that's very stable that you can count on, that you know is always going to be there. All of that can be gone in a moment. But what we have in Christ, that is secure. Jesus Christ is the same today and tomorrow and forevermore. He will always be there. And then He goes on to tell us that there is an incredible inheritance that you and I have in this living hope that we have. Peter says we have a living hope that leads into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now, an inheritance is something that we get. We don't earn it. We get it just because we're related to someone. And we don't earn this inheritance either. We never do. It's a gift. We get it because we have become related to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become His children by faith in Him. This inheritance is imperishable. Everything in this life perishes, spoils, or fades. It can be lost or stolen or broken. It can be tampered with. But the inheritance we have in heaven is eternally glorious. Fading is kind of like fads. They just come and go. And it's amazing though, you know, when we get a little bit older, we see fads that we thought were dead, and they kind of revive themselves and come back again. And, you know, fads come and go, but our inheritance in Christ is unchanging. And what He's prepared for us will always be there for eternity. Priscilla's parents have both been gone now for 30 years. And when her mom went to be with the Lord, we inherited a beautiful house in Belle Fouche that they had off of the ranch so that they could take care of Elmo when he was so sick, and then they kept it. And we inherited that house, and we loved it, and we would have loved to have lived in it in retirement and all of that and kept it and all of that. When we were over there a year ago, we went by and looked at it again, walked around, drove around the outside of it, and it's been well cared for and all of that. But at the time we inherited that, we were just drowning in medical bills. Every one of our kids had been through surgeries and all kinds of things, and we were just drowning in bills that we need to get paid off. And so we thank the Lord for that inheritance that we got. But today we don't have one thing to show for that inheritance. It's gone. It's been used up. We got bills paid. You know, it's gone. And again, we thank the Lord for that, but that inheritance is gone. And we have another inheritance that is coming to us that's going to be for eternity. That it can't be stolen, it can't be lost, it can't be taken away, it can't be sold. It's ours, and it's guaranteed. And then he goes on then in verse 5, and he says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. He says it is kept. It is guarded. It is protected. It is preserved in heaven because, you know why? Because anything kept here on earth can perish, spoil, or fade. It can be lost and taken away. It can be gone. So this inheritance is preserved, is protected in heaven for you. Jesus told his disciples that he was going ahead of them to prepare a place in heaven because nothing can be kept here. And he said he was going to go and prepare that place for them so that they could be there with him. Do you know what our inheritance is wrapped up in? Our inheritance is wrapped up in Jesus. Our inheritance, the greatest thing when you and I get to heaven, will not be the streets of gold. And all the other things that are wonderful and glorious about heaven, and all the other wonderful things that we haven't even begun to experience. And it's not even about all the people that we're going to see, loved ones that we have missed and all of that. The greatest thing when we get to heaven is that we're going to be able to say, oh, we are with Jesus. We are with him. Our inheritance is with him. Now, you and I can be confident and know that God has gone ahead and prepared a place in heaven for each one of us, that we have an inheritance there. But what is to say that you and I are going to make it there to get the inheritance? And Peter answers that question for us. Peter says, it is through faith that we are shielded. Again, guarded, protected by God's power so that we will get there, so that we will get the inheritance. We will arrive there. So how do we know? He says, your faith protects you. Not anything else, but your faith in what Jesus did on the cross protects you so that you know that you have that inheritance coming and that you're going to be able to claim that inheritance. And so I say to you today, put your faith in Christ and what Christ did on the cross, not in yourself and not in anything that you can do, not in anything that you have. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is that faith that protects you. As your inheritance is protected by Jesus, your faith protects you and makes sure that you're going to be able to claim that prize. And then lastly, Peter says to us that our salvation is going to be revealed in the last time. In other words, there is a curtain that kind of keeps us from seeing everything that salvation is. And that curtain is going to be pulled wide open. And you and I are going to see and understand more about our salvation than we've ever understood and even experienced here on earth. There's coming a day when Jesus Christ in the last time comes, And we are going to know more about our salvation and all the things that God has done for us and all the things that God has worked in our lives to bring about when we get there. All of that's going to be yet revealed. There's some things you just don't know that God has planned for you. There's things that God is working behind the scenes in your life and in my life that I don't have the foggiest idea about. But one day, it's going to be revealed. Then, we shall know fully all that God has done for us. And we talk about the fact, as Wesleyans, we talk about the fact that we have been saved, that we are being saved, and that we are going to be saved. We never fully experience salvation, and God is always at work in our life, but we never fully experience all of the salvation that God has for us. But one day, when we get to heaven, that will all be revealed, and we will know all that God has done for us, and all that he's done through us, and we will experience it fully ourselves. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you today, and we would just ask, Lord, that you would help us to praise you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to make music in our hearts because of all the things that you're doing in our life. I praise you, Father, for the inheritance that we have in you, that this life, as wonderful as it may be at times, doesn't hold a candle to the next life. Thank you, Lord, for the inheritance that we have, for the new birth that we have, for the living hope that we have. Father, I pray, Lord, that as you are protecting that inheritance, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us with our faith, that it would be protected and shielded and guarded by God's power, so that we too may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when this life comes to an end for us, the inheritance that has been protected for us in heaven will be ours, and we will be able to claim it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and join us as we sing Living Hope?
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. But imagine so great a mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and wore my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its his grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in my name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. In the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, Lord, I got a silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living
hope. Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be power forever and ever. Amen.